Let's read together Psalms 84 and 85. Here we have two Psalms of the sons of Korah. In both of these Psalms, we find a passion and yearning to be near to the Lord and to be in restored fellowship to the Lord. All committed believers can identify with the expressions of these Psalms. Let's begin by reading Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, or how lovely are your dwellings, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's begin our study of Psalm 84 with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that it is a psalm of the sons of Korah. This means it was either written by one of the descendants of Korah or written by someone else and given to the sons of Korah to be set to music and used in temple worship. The phrase on the gittith in the title refers to either a tune or musical instrument. Psalm 84 is similar to Psalms 42 and 43 in content and theme. In these psalms, the writer expresses a yearning desire to be in the Lord's house, where he can worship and experience close fellowship with the Lord. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 84. Committed believers yearn for fellowship with the Lord. Committed believers yearn for fellowship with the Lord. Remember, in the Old Testament, the presence of the Lord in the midst of his people was focused in a special way with the glory of the Lord in the Holy of Holies, first in the tabernacle and then in the temple. So we see in verses 1 and 2 of this psalm that the writer of this psalm longs to be in the temple courts where he can worship and sing praises to the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 again of Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwellings, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The birds of verse 3 are considered especially privileged because they have built nests in the temple area, close to the Lord's presence. And the priests of verse 4, who lived in the rooms surrounding the temple courts, were also privileged because they did not have to leave the center of worship. In verses 5 through 7, special blessings are pronounced for believers who find their strength in the Lord and yearn to be where the Lord is present. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. These believers can pass through the valley of Baca, that is, dry and arid areas, and find springs of water. Verse 6. In other words, committed believers who yearn for fellowship with the Lord will find spiritual refreshment where other uncommitted believers experience spiritual dryness. The believer who yearns for fellowship with the Lord will go from strength to strength and draw closer in fellowship with the Lord. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. In verses 8 and 9, the pilgrim prays for the king as he travels up to the temple in Jerusalem. The anointed king is the shield and protector of the people. Ultimately, this looks forward to Christ, the anointed king, who is the shield and protector of his people. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. We see in verse 10 that the psalmist's yearning to be close to the Lord is so great that he considered a day in the courts of the temple as better than 1,000 days away from the temple. And to stand just humbly at the threshold of the temple was far better than to live in worldly places where God was not honored. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Question, where would you rather spend an afternoon? At a Christian conference with fellow believers where God is honored? Or at an office party with business friends where God is not always honored? Committed believers yearn for fellowship with the Lord. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 84? Learn the secret of living the good life. Learn the secret of living the good life. Verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let me ask you, what's the good life for you? Lots of money and things? No work and lots of vacation time? What about the really good life? To know the Lord as sun and shield, the warmth of his love and his protection. To experience his grace and approval and blessing. That's the really good life. And the secret is to walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Do you really believe that truth? To walk uprightly means to do what's right and live your life in harmony with the revealed Word of God. That means there's going to be a lot of Bible in your life. Learn the secret of living the good life. Let's continue reading the first 7 verses of Psalm 85. In this psalm, the writer yearns for restoration to the Lord. Psalm 85, beginning with verse 1. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgotten the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin, Selah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you, show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 85. Here again we have a psalm of the sons of Korah, either written by one of Korah's descendants or given to the sons of Korah to be set to music and used in temple worship by the choir director. The occasion of this psalm may have been after the return of the Jewish people from their Babylonian captivity, because of what we read in verse 1, Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. So it may have been after the return from the captivity in Babylon. However, the writer may be referring to another time when God's people were under attack by enemy forces and God delivered them. In any case, the restoration referred to in verses 1 through 3 did involve confession of sin and an acknowledgement that God had rightly judged them for their sin. Verses 2 and 3, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin, Selah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Now in verses 4 through 7, the psalmist moves on to ask the Lord for restoration from the present distress that God's people are experiencing. Thus, revive us again would be an appropriate title for this psalm. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 85. Committed believers yearn for restoration to the Lord. Committed believers yearn for restoration to the Lord. The past restoration of the people to the Lord in verses 1 through 3 motivated the psalmist to pray that the Lord would restore and revive them again. When the Lord disciplines his children for wrongdoing, committed believers long to be restored to the Lord. Verses 4 and 5, restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Only with restoration can there be true joy in our lives, verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Only with restoration do we appreciate God's gracious loving kindness and salvation. Verse 7. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Salvation here is deliverance from what has kept the believer from restoration. In verses 8 and 9, the psalmist is determined to wait for God to respond, confident that the Lord will answer and bring about peace and restoration as long as the people don't turn back to their former foolish sins. Verses 8 and 9, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to foolishness or folly. Truly his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. In verses 10 through 13, the psalmist looks forward to the blessings of revival and full restoration to the Lord. Verses 10 through 13. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. These blessings, of course, will be fully realized when the Lord returns and establishes his worldwide kingdom on this earth. Then Israel will be fully restored. Then God's glory will dwell in the land. Verse 9, his loving kindness and truth and righteousness and peace will prevail. Verses 10 and 11, the land will be fruitful and productive. Verse 12, righteousness will be a way of life. Verse 13. Let's read verse 13 once again. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Do you yearn for a time like that? Do you need to be restored to the Lord? Committed believers yearn for restoration to the Lord. And now what about practical application for Psalm 85? Don't prevent righteousness and peace from kissing. Don't prevent righteousness and peace from kissing. Verses 10 and 11. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Now, there are times when you want to prevent kissing, like when your teenage daughter, quote, falls in love too quickly with the wrong guy. But don't prevent righteousness and peace from kissing one another. In Christ, righteousness and peace have kissed one another. His righteousness has been imputed to believers, and we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified or made righteous, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Furthermore, we've seen that our Lord's future kingdom here on this earth will be one of righteousness and peace. But right now in the church, we need to work at living righteously and keeping peace. Ephesians 4:3 says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3. Don't prevent righteousness and peace from kissing.